I'm Joni De Winter.
And I am Susan Grant.
And we are part of Bell Street,
who are an events band and theatre company.
And we are here to share stories of our fun and failures on our... Oh, that's your line.
Journey. From being scared, but doing it anyway.
And stealing each other's lines. Hi, Susan.
Hello, Joni. How are you today?
I'm good. We are recording this one in an evening, so we have a cheeky little Prosecco. Ooh. Let's cheers. Let's do a cheers. Yeah, nice.
Cheers.
Lovely. But welcome. What are we going to talk about today, Susan?
Well, today, we're going to focus on something that you and I have quite a lot of... can't think of the word.
Experience.
With
day drinking.
Not day drinking today. We're not doing a whole episode on day drinking. But that should maybe be in the next...
A live session. Drink along with Bell Street. Sing along, drink along.
I think we've done that before. Anyway, today we are talking about imposter syndrome.
We are.
And
I was supposed to get the screenshot up on my phone before.
Well, that's fine, because I wasn't really sure what imposter syndrome was until I heard... a podcast actually sort of talking about it and realised that actually I've lived quite a lot of my life with imposter syndrome.
So. I think we all have. If you've never heard of it before, we looked up a dictionary definition for y'all. Imposter syndrome, the persistent inability to believe that one's success is deserved or has been legitimately achieved as a result of one's own effort or skills.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the dictionary definition of
that. Absolutely. And when we were looking it up a little bit earlier and researching a few bits and pieces on it, a little bit more of a simple term is generally feeling like a fraud or like you don't deserve the success, quite often around work or creative.
It's to do with how you feel about your skills, isn't it? And your worthiness sometimes.
And especially if you're in a new place that suddenly you're either in front of people or you're doing something that a lot of people that you would respect are watching you or listening to you or things like that. And suddenly you're up giving them advice or talking about something that apparently you know about.
And saying, here I am, this is what I know, I'm going to do it.
And well, that there is an element, obviously, that you have worked hard, you've got to that place. You do have to sort of put on a faking it persona to begin with, quite often, to get over that first hurdle of, hi, here I am. But it's quite a frightening place to be initially at times.
And sometimes it can definitely be a very loud voice in your head. It can really take over your whole body. Mm-hmm. And it could be something that maybe you weren't necessarily even worried about. It's not always that you've been consistently worried. It might just appear 10 minutes before you have to go and make a presentation or go into a meeting or perform a musical. Sometimes it just comes out of nowhere and it's a very loud voice.
Yes. Yeah.
So we wanted to talk really about how it's affected us and how we try and deal with it when it comes along with its voice. Mm-hmm. And kind of piece together some advice, which is just our experience. We're not saying that we have nailed confidence and never hear that voice. It's there a lot.
There it is. What are you doing? Is there a lot?
It really
not from
is.
Anyone else, but inside our own heads.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you... Well, we think about how much work we've put into everything.
I think there's something to be said even for just recognising it. Yeah. Even just naming it is the first step.
mm-hmm. of dealing with it. And that's something we do do.
Yeah.
We do do.
We do indeed.
So we thought maybe a good way to talk our way through this would be to use some examples of things or quotes that have been said to us and how we've dealt with those situations or those quotes mm-hmm. We thought might be helpful, if not mildly entertaining.
Mm. Well, yes, we have gone into a gig feeling quite good about it and looking quite good and
sounding quite good.
We did have one particular, we've had a couple like it, one particular comment just saying, oh, you should try and do this professionally.
Oh.
And it's just, you think, oh. But we are.
You've just paid us.
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of expectation from people that even if you've just got over it yourself, we've just got into this point where we will say, we are an events band. I am a singer. I am a performer. Mm. I write things. We've just got to that point, and then for people to say you should do this professionally takes you right back down the snake ladder to square one again.
Yeah. So it is about owning what you are, whatever it is you are or you think you're going to be or you want to be, owning that feeling. And so when you do get the comments, you can smile. Not take it to heart in any way, but
yeah,
you can smile and go, thank you.
It always comes from a lovely place, a comment like that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people do music in their spare time. It's not a completely unrealistic assumption for someone to make. But it definitely has knocked our confidence in the past. And yes, thankfully we have each other to laugh about it with.
It's also very important to be authentic with whatever you're putting out there. Really believing. We've talked about authenticity before, previous weeks, but believing what you are delivering, being prepared with what you're delivering as well, and knowing where your boundaries are, roughly, because as we've also learned, you can't be everything to everybody, and people will ask you.
We thought about this story when we were talking about times where we really struggled with imposter syndrome, and we were asked to do a gig when we were a trio. And we were in the swing of things with gigging. We had created our brand, as we talked about before. We sort of knew where we were going, musical direction. And we were booked for an event, which shall remain nameless. And that was great. No questions asked, booked for the event. And leading up to the event, we had a meeting with the person running the event. And they said, oh, by the way, you're going to need to bring accompaniment because we can't have any amplification. As part of our license, there's no amplification. Can you do that? So we're like, right. Oh, good challenge. Good challenge. Mm-hmm. Let's, mm-hmm. Okay, I reckon we can. And then the event organizer said, and you know those songs you normally sing? Could you maybe sing something slightly different, maybe something a bit more poppy, they did suggest a couple of songs, and we were like, oh, okay, well, yeah, we could look at that if we're getting an accompaniment in. We had someone in mind that we could get and play guitar for us, and we thought, oh, what a challenge, that would be fun, and then the comment came, and you know how you always wear black and how you always dress. Can you not dress like that? Because it doesn't really fit the vibe. At which point, really, us, present us now, would say,
thank you. But no.
We don't think we're the act that you're looking for. Because basically we'd been asked to change everything about ourselves. But we weren't young. We were younger. But Bell Street was young. And so we were so keen to please and have gigs.
And it was a challenge. And we worked with a brilliant musician. And we worked really hard. It was almost wasted rehearsal.
Yeah.
For stuff that actually we never used again.
Yeah, because it wasn't the direction we wanted to go in. And I guess the imposter syndrome bit came in there with, well, who are you to say, this is who we are, this is what we do, this is what we offer. You should do whatever anybody asks you to do. You should be honoured that someone has asked you to be part of their event. And we are always honoured when people ask us to be part of their event. But sometimes we're not the right fit, and we are now not afraid to say, somebody else could do this much better for you. Mm-hmm. And Susan's right. That was, we worked so hard and we created a set, and
when we got there was amplification and other people did.
All the other acts had amplification, just went ahead and do it, dressed in whatever they wanted. And there were lectures on the whole time that we were singing, so no one saw us. And we never did that set again. We arranged, there was a couple of specific songs asked for. We did an arrangement of those for three voices. Sounded great, but just never to be seen again. And it was such a shame.
But we learned a lesson.
Yeah, and we all bought matching dresses that were completely nothing that we'd ever wear as a band. We looked quite good. We looked like something from the 90s.
We did, in a sort of a real Bewitched vibe.
It was. I love Bewitched. But that wasn't the vibe they were going for. So it's always good to push yourself out of your comfort zone. But where we really got it wrong was that time we let the doubt creep in and lost sight of what the product we were providing was and what we knew we were good at. Mm-hmm. We love a challenge. Please never think that you can't come to us with your ideas, because we love a challenge. But sometimes it's not right for us, and you will come across situations like that, and that's when knowing who you are and what your brand is and what your values are and what's important to you really count.
And what you can do well, really well, so that you are giving it your best and not just distributing your energy into random places just to have, I mean, by all means have a go, but if you're charging for it or you would like to be paid, it is really worthwhile to dig deep sometimes and feel that authentic vibe.
Identity.
Yeah,
it's a sense of identity.
Yeah,
and knowing that will help you when you come across imposter syndrome, and when that voice creeps up, just stepping back and thinking, who am I? What do I want out of what I'm making, what I'm doing, will help you decide whether it's a challenge or actually it's just not for you. Mm. So that was one of the big examples that we have learnt from, definitely. No quotes there, though.
No quotes there, but the next quote is a sort of a flip around with it all. We were quite early on with Bell Street. It was a fringe.
Yeah, definitely evening. One of the fringes.
And we went to go and play at an event in the evening. There weren't many people there. And we were feeling, we were in hot pants. Yeah. It was a private event.
Yes.
And we did have red jackets, hot pants and fishnets on.
We did!
In a barn.
We did! That was a strong look. I love that look. Yeah. When are those jackets coming out again?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's wear them for the next podcast.
Done.
Yeah, I love those. We should get those out, definitely. But, yeah, and actually we were quite nervous about it.
Yes.
And we did our best, feeling a little bit awkward. And we got one of the best quotes that we would love to use everywhere, but we can't use it everywhere because it's not always approved of.
It will be on our branding one day.
Mm. Our t-shirt. Yeah, and we were told that we were fuck off fabulous.
Fuck off fabulous.
Ladies.
Fuck off fabulous ladies.
Absolutely.
It was such a boost. It was such a boost.
And this person still follows us and still will write on various photos and things that we do. Lots of lovely phrases like that,
mm-hmm.
which are just full of positive positivity. Let's go with that.
It's definitely one of my favourite reviews we've ever got. And what's brilliant about that is you can just pull it out when you are doubting yourself. We do, well, tell yourself you're fuck off fabulous. We can, other people can use it on themselves, can't
Absolutely.
They?
Absolutely.
We give you permission.
Yeah.
Next time you're doubting yourself, next time a voice comes into your mind, what are you doing? The hell are you doing? Mm-hmm. Why are you doing this? You're not good enough. Blah, blah, blah. Say, no, I am fuck off fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
And we use it a lot. It's just sadly not very PG, which means now this podcast isn't very PG.
It's all right.
It's not for children.
No.
No.
I don't think it ever was.
No.
Not really.
We just wanted to include that quote, really. I mean, apart from it being an antidote to imposter syndrome, there's no other story around that. We just love it.
You know what? We've got another one that I can't remember whether we've just made it up or whether it came off the back of that. But we also, after fuck off fabulous, we've never been shit.
At least, yes, we've never been said, shit.
And then we wrote, well, with the help of Martin, we wrote a song called At Least We Weren't Shit. But we've never been shit because we haven't. We might have been a little bit off. We might have had a few days where things could have been better, but we've always had a level. And I guess maybe that works with it being two of us as well. Because if one of us is a bit below par, the other one can build it up.
It's interesting, isn't it? I wonder which came first, fuck off fabulous, or at least we weren't shit. We'll never be shit. We used to say it to reassure ourselves.
Yeah.
I think when this voice came as well, when this voice came in, we used to say, well, we're not going to be shit.
Mm.
And that would be what we'd cling on to. Mm. And that is a small amount of positivity, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And we say it less and less now.
Yeah.
Because we have begun to believe in that fuck off fabulous statement.
Yeah.
So that is the shift between we'll never be shit. We used to say there are people better than us, people worse than us.
Yeah.
We are who we are and we're not going to be shit. And now we don't have to reason that out. It's interesting that we don't do that as much anymore.
No.
But it definitely got us through some very hard times.
And it probably will again when we launch into the next unknown.
Yes.
That would be not far away.
And I love that we wrote a song about it. The song, if you haven't seen Hugh the Musical, which is the musical we did write and have recorded, you can listen to it on Spotify, Apple Music and all the other places. We wrote a song with Martin saying, at least we weren't shit. And the actresses, we pulled that from real life. We wanted to immortalise that.
Mm-hmm.
That is something we say to each other so much. And I love that it's immortalised in a song now, forever. The internet has it.
Yeah, that's it.
That means we are universally, at least we weren't, shit. So if you can't bring yourself to say, I am fuck off fabulous, say, well, at least I'm not going to be shit.
Yeah.
Because you know you're not.
Mm.
Whatever you can turn around to be a more positive statement,
mm-hmm.
and even if it is only, well, I'm not going to be rubbish, work your way up to fuck off fabulous.
Yeah.
And when you can say it to yourself, buy yourself a t-shirt with it on, because we'll have that soon.
Yeah. Yeah, look out for our merch.
I can see it in my mind already.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of 70s retro with
yeah.
The F is quite big.
Okay.
Talking of humbling yourself, mm-hmm. which we weren't, but now we shall. Mm-hmm. We wanted to give an example we've used a couple of times because it was so something we'll put in our memoir one day, isn't it? Mm-hmm. We've mentioned Shaftesbury Fringe a lot. We're big fans of Shaftesbury Fringe. If you don't live in Shaftesbury, when it's on, 27th, 28th of July?
26th, 27th, 28th, yeah.
Come to Shaftesbury and come to the Fringe. It's so great. Such a good thing to be part of if you're performing from anywhere. And such a good thing to just visit. We love it. So we were performing at the Fringe 2022. Mm-hmm. And we were performing outside. It was a beautiful sunny day. There's an amazing lady in Shaftesbury who sells amazing cheese. The Truckle Truck, she is. Follow her on Instagram. And she was a venue. She parked up in the middle of the high street. The high street was closed. And we set ourselves up in front of her cheese truck. Mm-hmm. And we did a gig in the middle of the road. Mm-hmm. And it was the best feeling because it was packed. The street was packed of people. How many people do you think? I'll put you on the spot.
You always say 300.
I always say 300. I don't know where that's come from.
But I do think by the time we had an initial core lot, but then there were people up the other end and up
hanging out of windows. Yeah. They were.
Yes.
Not literally, but I mean like leaning out of windows. Yeah. They were safely leaning out of their windows. It was amazing and everyone joined in and it was such a lovely vibe and we were busking so we earned some money. It was fantastic. People joined in.
Yes.
It was so much fun. So much fun.
Yes. But we'd been booked in the evening. Someone had said that there was a gig. Did we want it? Mm-hmm. And we were a bit like, yes. Work all weekend.
Yeah. And it was a paid gig. Mm-hmm. So we accepted it and went along on riding on a cloud of victory.
And adrenaline. We were knackered. We were like, oh, here we go.
We were tired. We needed a drink. Mm-hmm. And we rocked up at a, what was it, campsite?
Campsite, yeah.
Campsite. And set our stuff up and met the lady. She was very lovely and said, oh, I'm not sure how many people will be around, but hopefully it'll be great. We've told people that you're here. And that evening, ladies and gentlemen, we performed to two very friendly goats.
Yes.
And a dad with his little boy who wet himself, so had to go home in the third son. Mm.
There were a couple of people that wandered in and out, really.
But it was essentially two goats were our most attentive audience members.
And there was a lovely stage in the corner, but
it was great.
We felt a little bit like strippers. Just
why did we feel like strippers?
Well, because it suddenly got very dark. And then we were just like moving around. I'm just going to set up my battery. In the weird lights.
Yes, we were strippers. There's a few times in our professional life that we have been asked if we're strippers, but that was a weird one. Mm-hmm. It was a strange one. But we were being paid and we were like professional. Kept on going, but the fall from all those people, those 300 people, let's stick with 300, those people waving out of their windows.
Sounds like something. No,
I'm thinking like VE Day. In my mind, I've really bigged it up as this amazing thing.
But it was an amazing thing. It was. There were brilliant people there. Yeah.
But the contrast was harsh. It was harsh. And why did we include that story with imposter syndrome?
Well, again, I don't know, actually. It's just a good story.
Just a good story. We wrote a song about that as well. That's in the At Least We Weren't Shit.
It is.
Yeah.
The time we played to just two goats.
Call it a paid rehearsal.
At least we hit all of our notes.
We should have put something in about strippers.
Well, next we put that one. In the next one.
Okay. Yeah. And the fact is, sometimes Maybe imposter syndrome is right. No, that's not the point of this podcast. But the jump from all those people to the two goats, and still having, it's still keeping the belief that you're good.
Mm.
People want to see you.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing the right thing for you creatively. Mm-hmm. Don't let something like that knock you down. I remember our point.
Oh, good.
Well, I'm making one up now.
Good.
If you do have a day like that, where it's just you and two goats, whatever that metaphorically represents for you, it doesn't mean that you're doing the wrong thing or that you are shit, because 3 hours ago, you could have been playing to another metaphorical crowd of a VE day party, people hanging out of windows and screaming your name. You know, that's not where you find your identity, and it's not where you find your assurance isn't in either of those things. But let's face it, we'd all prefer the goat. No, we'd all prefer the 300 people and the cheese truck.
Absolutely. And as a creative person, whether you're a singer or... I mean, we come from the performance side, but whatever your creative vibe is, it's really hard to ever create the same feeling as well, isn't it? So some of the smallest gigs have had the most wonderful atmospheres.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the goats didn't have a lot to say.
Moving on, here's a quote that knocks you down sometimes, but we learn some lessons. And the quote is this: "Oh my gosh, you were so much better than we thought you'd be." You would not believe the amount of times people say this to us. It happens over and over again. And I guess it's great. It's a better thing for people to say than, oh,
that was a shame.
That was a shame. I really thought you'd be a bit better than that.
Yeah.
You were so much better than we thought you'd be. We found really hard to deal with.
Yeah.
For a while. And what we thought perhaps was that imposter syndrome chipping away at us, or trying to shed it off. Maybe we weren't putting out the right vibes. Maybe, you know, subconsciously, we were still putting out those vibes of, this is what we do. This is who we are. We're really good, we think.
Yeah, being apologetic without realising.
Yeah. I think we were doing that quite a lot. Mm. And that reflects in our pricing.
Yep.
In our publicity.
Yeah.
And in how we sold ourselves to venues.
Mm-hmm.
It really was something that subconsciously I think we must have been telling people.
And also we've had to learn how to talk to the audience as well, to stop being so apologetic about what we're doing. It's our style. There's a lot that we do really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so our mission is to hear that less, and really we've only acknowledged it as a something we need to work on kind of in the last year or so, six months or so.
Mm-hmm.
Because we thought, why do people keep saying this to us? There must be something that we need to change.
There's a real well done you vibe behind it.
It's a bit like, oh, you should do this professionally. Well done.
Yeah.
Well done. And we do find that people do say that, like if you're a woman, if you have kids, if you're doing a few things, if you've got a lot going on in your life, people can assume that you're not really going to be able to manage anything else. And that kind of patronising, oh, well done, well done. And I got that a lot. I was a single parent. I am a single parent. And, you know, I used to get that a lot when I would tell people what I did and what I wanted to do. And they would say, oh, isn't she brave? She's so brave. And I was like, I'm not brave, I'm selfish. This is a selfish thing. I want to indulge my creative side. I want to work, and I want my job to be something that I really love doing. And I know you've experienced it too.
Well, it's also, from saying that, it's when I, a long time ago, when I was trying to audition and doing this, that, and the other, and had some really great jobs as a performer. And you'd say, oh yeah, I'm an actress or I'm a singer. And people are like, oh, what have I seen you in? And I think, well, nothing, unless you go to a lot of schools. And everyone, they don't, or they'll say, oh, it'd be nice if you made it. You think, well, actually, we've all got our different stages of making it. And being in the public eye or having an awful lot of money or whatever isn't necessarily that thing, is it? It's working to each goal at a time. And hoping that people are surprised at your performance or your work, so that you are actually better than someone thought you'd be. Because next time you're going to be even better anyway.
The goal thing is an interesting thing. What you were just talking about might be a bit of a tangent, but like
not that, as much as goats.
We had goats on our notes. We wrote goats down. Having what people expect your goals to be, when they're saying it would be nice if you made it, or when do you think, if you do it professionally, does that mean people are thinking we should be rolling up in a, I don't know, with a rider or something?
And we should be on Britain's Got Talent.
Well, this is what I was going to say. Yeah. So many people say, oh, well, you do Britain's Got Talent, or I was going to say Pop Idol. That's a very old reference, but it's been said. But it's not about that for us. It's about being paid well for doing something that we love, for being creative. For me, it would be being on a half decent wage and doing the thing I really love doing.
So I'm, it's not your job.
Yes, that's what I mean.
It's your job. Yeah.
But that is the dream for me, and that is what we're doing. But you can hear it, like the imposter syndrome comes straight in because you're reluctant to say,
yeah,
my job. But that dream of kind of, oh, I want to be famous or whatever, like, I understand people want that dream. I can't think of anything worse, but I just want to be well paid. And I want my job to be being creative. And that feels like such a dream that we are working on.
Yeah.
Don't know what that's got to do with imposter syndrome.
Absolutely everything. We were asked, after we had written Hugh the Musical, and it was still a work in progress.
Yes.
And we were asked to go to a book workshop over a weekend. And there were lots of authors there.
Real ones.
Illustrators. Like people that were published, people that are published, and this is their job, and they're quite well known, and it was quite a big event, and we were asked to go and deliver a workshop. I mean, we initially thought we'd been asked if we would go and take part in it, yes. And then we realised actually they wanted us to lead the workshop, because we'd written a script.
A script writing workshop about the script, the one script we'd written ever, and that really, a year ago, we weren't very confident about. We'd written one script, and it felt ridiculous to us that someone would ask us to do a workshop on it. So we implemented our, well, let's just fucking do it rule. We decided to say yes. The script that we had written, one script, and we weren't 100% sure about it at this point. We were doing a lot of improvising off a very rough script. So imposter syndrome did come in hard that day. Session, yeah. But we decided to do it.
Well, we got ourselves prepared a couple of days before, but then we met.
That was quite organised for us, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were very...
Yeah, because we were nervous, we planned. Yeah, we really, yeah.
And then we met in the morning.
We didn't cry this time.
No, but neither of us just knew. Like, it was just, what? And how many people were there?
Well, it was full, wasn't it? So I think we were in two halves of a room, and our half of the room was really nicely full of such different sorts of people. So, a couple of people we knew, but mostly people we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
People who were looking to write books, people with experience, people without experience.
Yeah. Where do you start with a script? Or where do you start? And we, again, we talked about this before in another podcast, but actually you just have to start. And I think at that point, that's probably the only advice we could give.
That and the ideas advice of tying your balloon, and if you wanted to invest in an idea, then to claim it as yours and to carve out some time to make it. So we kind of approached it a bit like we approached Hugh the Musical when we realised we were going to have to do something on this day. We just talked about our experience of writing this musical and the script and the journey we've been on, which is sort of when, was that when we kind of, we were thinking, let's do a podcast. But definitely we realised that there are so many creative people out there who want to make something, and it's hard when you're on your own. And the thought for us of creating a community where you can be encouraged and you can be held accountable kind of began to grow in our minds. And I think that for us, if we manage to build a community with this podcast, which is one of our goals, really, isn't it? To connect with people and other creative people and other people who are just trying to get stuff done in the storm of life.
It's great to have, again, we're back to collaboration and bouncing ideas off of each other and being accountable for each other when that's needed.
And it's a passion of ours, isn't it? And we're not really sure what to do with it yet, which is starting our podcast is probably our second step, because really doing that script workshop was our first step in doing something like that. And this is the next step for us because it is something we want to encourage. So this script writing workshop was completely out of our comfort zone, and it was something new and something we weren't sure if we were ready to be. But we've come a long way from a few years back when we changed ourselves to do something, to change our music, change our look, change everything to fit into something, because we weren't sure if maybe we should just say yes. This felt like authentically something we have on our long-term plan of where we want to go as a pair. We want to make theatre, we want to perform, and we want to help create a creative community.
It was taking a big step in the correct direction.
Yes. It felt, it sat right with us. And that's why, even though it was scary, it was the right thing for us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you can push the imposter syndrome down and say, no, this is the path I'm on. This is where we want to go. So we're not listening to you. We are fuck off fabulous. And we're going to do this script workshop. And it was great. It was great. We learned so much from doing it. People there had a great time. Some people learnt things, some people just had a nice time.
Yeah.
Yeah. We used a lot of coloured pens, which we do like.
We did, we gave everyone a balloon.
Yeah, everyone got a free balloon.
Yeah.
With us, you either get a free balloon or a free kazoo, always.
They both make similar noises, actually.
We should just stick to balloons, they're cheaper, but not as environmentally friendly. If we're bringing this whole discussion to a close.
Yes.
Our main aim is to encourage you to name that imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Recognise it.
Know what it is. And really do a bit of soul searching. Decide whether you want to be fuck off fabulous regardless of that voice. Or if actually you are fuck off fabulous and you don't need to change yourself and meet that challenge. Because maybe it's not the right challenge for you.
And there'll always be a new opportunity.
Yes.
If your energy is driving in the right direction and you're willing to say yes and it feel right with every cell, even if it's frightening, there's like we said before, such a huge difference. There will always be another opportunity. So be fuck off fabulous.
Buy the t-shirt. We've got 6 weeks to design one.
Pants.
Oh, fuck off fabulous pants. Yeah. For when you're not ready to just wear it on your chest. There could be a grading.
Mm.
So the small voice in your mind, like you think you might be ready to call yourself fuck off fabulous, but not quite yet. You just wear it on your pants. words.
Yeah.
But when you're ready to wear it loud and proud.
That's it. It is the t-shirt.
Across your t-shirt.
And a hoodie.
And a hoodie. Anyway. We do love merch, don't we? We haven't even got the mugs yet.
We haven't. Mugs. We'll do mugs as well.
Yeah. Mugs, Fuck Off Fabulous t-shirt, or a Bell Street hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for joining us. This is our third episode we've recorded.
Yes.
We are learning and we appreciate you sticking with us and your feedback. So please do message us if you have liked what we're doing or if you have any constructive feedback. Mm-hmm. If you just want to tell us we're fuck off fabulous, we always like hearing it.
Or if you want to tell us that you're fuck off fabulous.
Yes, that's more important.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
Okay. So we will see you on the next episode. But be fuck off fabulous.
Just do it anyway.